Beloved Book One, once Nansen said to the assembled monks, "The way is not outside things. Outside things, there is no way." Joshua asked, "What is the way which is outside things?" Nansen immediately struck him. Joshua caught hold of the stick and said, "From now on, don't strike somebody by mistake." Nansen said, "It's easy to speak of a dragon, but difficult to please me." And throwing down his stick, he went back to his room. At another time, Joshua asked Nansen, "When one realizes that there is, where should he go from there?" Nansen replied, "He should go down to the hill to become a buffalo in the village below." Joshua thanked Nansen for having led him to his full enlightenment. In response, Nansen commented, "Last night, at the third watch, the moon shone through the window."
Manisha, first I have to express my apology to you that I could not join in your dance. The whole credit goes to President Ronald Reagan. For no reason at all, he dragged me in 6 jails in 12 days. I thought it was sheer torture. But as symptoms of poison started appearing in my body, experts in England examined every possible way what kind of poison may have been given to me. And they found one poison which is a category in itself. It is the only poison that disappears and cannot be found either in blood or in any other way except in the symptoms. And that poison, given in a big dose, kills the man immediately. That made me clear why I was dragged through 6 jails to give the poison in small doses so it does not kill me immediately but will take years to destroy my body from inside. I have almost overcome the poison just in my hands, in the bones, and particularly in the joints, it is still stuck. I have been dancing with you without bothering about it. I would have continued, but today the pain became too much. But the pain is not the problem for me. The problem was, if I continue, then perhaps I may have to stop speaking. So it is better to let this pain settle. I hope soon I will be joining with you. It would have been good if Ronald Reagan has killed me completely. That would have been a great credit to Christianity and to American democracy. But he has poisoned me through his administration. In such a way that I will remain crucified for years. I am saving all my energy just for these 2 hours in the evening. Otherwise, I am lying down in the darkness. For me, it does not matter whether death comes this moment or the next. My purpose is fulfilled. My dance is complete. I am just lingering around for you all to join with me in the great matter of enlightenment. So I thought it is better not to press too much the hands. You can understand even my unmoving hands and their gesture. But I would like you to continue the dance. Before I come, and to continue the celebration, when I leave the podium, I hope with your love the poison will be defeated. And I will be able to dance with you, to celebrate with you. I don't have any complaint against anybody. But the nature, existence itself takes care of things. The day I was given poison, I remember the night in Oklahoma jail. That very moment, Ronald Reagan's days were finished. He started declining. His associate Admes, the Attorney General, who was the main agent as far as the poisoning is concerned, he has now to resign because he has been found to have committed great crimes. He admitted after I was deported from America to a press conference that there is no evidence, no proof that I have committed any crime. Our main object was to destroy the commune. And without deporting Bhagwan, it was impossible to destroy the commune. The commune was creating great trouble in the minds of fanatic Christians, the fundamentalists. Because commune was a clear-cut alternative to a sad society, miserable, in deep anguish, and the commune was just a laughter, a joy, a dance. This became impossible to tolerate for the Christians and for Ronald Reagan, who is a fundamentalist Christian. They forgot all democracy, all their own constitution, and they did everything to destroy the commune. But the first thing was to deport me. They could not deport me without any evidence of crime on my part. So they tried everything. They did not leave any alternative. First, they poisoned me. Second, they put a bomb under my chair. Thirdly, they blackmailed my attorneys. They produced a crime of list, 34 crimes, and the Attorney General admits, just as I leave America, that there is no proof, no evidence that I have ever committed anything. I was not even speaking for 3.5 years. The government attorneys blackmailed my attorneys that you see this list. We know and you know that if you go on fighting, you will finally win. But it will take 20 to 30 years. Secondly, our suggestion is that you are risking Bhagwan's life. That was a clear-cut indication that the government is bent upon to destroy the commune, whether any crime has been committed or not. My attorney said to me that if you accept 2 crimes, they are ready to let you go. They did not tell to the attorneys that accepting 2 crimes, is not a simple affair. It has implications. Those 2 crimes committed by anybody else would have been fined by $25 or at the most $50. But they punished me with $400,000, that is near about 60 lakh rupees. Even my attorneys were shocked because it was not discussed in the negotiations and deported me immediately. My plane was kept on the airport ready. Perhaps they were afraid if I die, then the blame will go on the American democracy. So within 15 minutes, I had to leave America. And then I have been haunting their minds. They have been trying in every way, just as Admees has accepted before the press, that we will make every effort to silence Bhagwan's voice. They managed 21 countries not to let me in. And they have forced Indian government not to allow sannyasins coming from all over the world. So that I am isolated, almost imprisoned in my own home. But my people are intelligent enough to manage to come against all odds and it is your love that is now my life. It is a question whether love wins or the poison. There is every evidence that from the whole body the poison has disappeared. Just in the hands it is there. It will have to disappear from the hands too. Because you cannot destroy an innocent man. Existence would not allow it. But I have to be a little careful now about the hands. Why certainly they have not been able to silence? Truth cannot be silenced, neither love nor joy. But this is the stupid idea since centuries people have been doing that. They killed by poison Socrates. But his voice is still ringing in the ears and in the hearts of those who want to understand deepest meanings of life. They crucified Jesus, but that does not make any difference. It really gave a tremendous importance to his teachings. Just to remind you that whether I am here or not, the celebration has to continue. If I am not here, then it has to be more intense. And it has to spread around the world. Celebration is my religion. Love is my message. Silence is my truth. Manisha has brought the sutra. Beloved Bhagwan, once Nansen said to the assembled monks, the way is not outside things. Outside things there is no way. Nansen has a style of his own, apparently contradictory. This statement, the way is not outside things, and the second sentence is, outside things there is no way. But what he is trying to convey is not contradictory. He is saying that if you are trying to find the way in the outside things, you will not find it. In the outside things there is no way. But when you have found the way itself becomes part of the outside things. Everything that you are going to find in your meditations becomes outside you. You remain always and always just a witness. And for the witness, everything is outside. The witness constantly transcends everything that it reflects. Josu, a man who was to become a great master, and by chance, tomorrow we are going to start a series on Josu. Josu, the lion's roar. He is also a milestone in the history of consciousness. A tremendously brave man, and created roaring lions, Buddhas, of great strength and power. He was a disciple of Nansen, but he was always a category in himself. He never became a disciple to Nansen formally. He was never initiated by Nansen. But he lived with Nansen, loved Nansen. Nansen loved him, showered him with his love. Everybody knew that if Nansen dies, he will choose Josu to be his successor. Although he is not his follower, he was such a unique person in himself, he could not follow anybody. He was a fellow traveler, and Nansen allowed every kind of people whether you agree with him or not, you can live with him. Perhaps by time you may come to an agreement. Just a little walking by his side, you may start feeling his heart touching you, changing you. He transformed Joseph without any formal initiation. When he was saying this contradictory statement, the way is not outside things. Outside things there is no way. Joseph asked, what is the way which is outside things? Nansen immediately struck him. In Zen, the master instructs only when he finds a man worthy to be a Buddha. The striking is simply to wake him up, that what kind of nonsense you are asking. Nonsense immediately striking him simply means that you are Josu, you are asking this kind of nonsense. You understand well what I have said. Somebody else can ask such a question, but not you. I know it and you know it. To make it clear, he struck him. Joseph caught hold of the stick and said, from now on, don't strike somebody by mistake. Joseph is not saying, don't strike me. He is saying, from now on, don't strike somebody by mistake. Striking me is perfectly right, but don't strike somebody else by mistake. I can understand why you are striking me, but striking somebody who has not reached to such a consciousness to understand can be dangerous to you. You are getting old. Nansen said, it is easy to speak of a dragon, but difficult to please me. And throwing down his stick, he went back to his room. What he has said is, it is easy to speak of a dragon, but difficult to please me. The statement of Joseph that from now on, don't strike somebody by mistake. Is just an effort to please him. That as far as I am concerned, you have done well, but don't do it to anybody else. Nonsense says, it is difficult to please me. At another time, Josu asked Nansen where one realizes that there is, where should he go from there? When one realizes this is, where should he go from this point? In fact, from this point, you cannot go anywhere. Wherever you go, you will be at this point. You cannot move away from now, whatever you do, however fast you run, wherever you will be in the now. And you cannot move in any other space than here. Wherever you will be, that space will become here. We have never moved as far as our center is concerned. He is asking, when one knows this is, where should he go from there? Nansen replied, he should go down the hill to become a buffalo in the village below. Nansen's answer is simply making a laughing stock of Josu. That don't ask such stupid questions. You are not supposed to ask such questions. These questions are asked by mediocre people. Those who don't have any experience of their inner being, these questions are relevant. They are not relevant for you. But he does not say it directly. He says he should go down the hill to become a buffalo in the village below. Josu thanked Nansen for having led him to his full enlightenment. Reading such stories about Zen is an experience in itself. Something is happening behind the curtain of the words, which is not visible to you. Something is happening which is neither in the questions nor in the answers. Because you have read this, do you think this will lead you to full enlightenment? But Josu became fully enlightened. These stories are very superficial. underneath them there is another current of a personal intimacy, of deep love and gratitude. Josu is feeling Nansen almost as his own heart. Although he is not a disciple, but he is a fellow dancer. And Nansen never insisted anybody to become a disciple. His insistence was, this is enough to be with me. If there is something to happen, remain open. I am available. If you are also available, the meeting will happen. Don't keep your doors closed. Just remain receptive. I am radiating that energy which will take a jump and your heart, which has lived into darkness for centuries, will become suddenly enlightened. The fire will reach to you if you remain available and close, intimate, because the jump is possible only at a certain distance. If you remain too far away, secure and safe and hoping to become enlightened, you are wrong. You have to risk to come close to the Master. As close as possible. In that closeness, in that intimacy, suddenly your heart becomes a flame. You are no more in darkness. So always remember that these stories are the superficial part of the real thing. The real thing cannot be said. The real thing can only be understood. Since eternity, whenever a man has become enlightened, ninety-9.9% it has been a transfer of energy from one master to another who is just ready and ripe. I am leaving 0.1% because it is not necessary, not absolutely necessary that you can become enlightened only with a master. You can become enlightened on your own, but it is a little difficult and arduous path. You may fall many times, you may go astray many times, you may return to the circumference again and again. While you were reaching close to the center, you were not aware that you are close to center. Just a small difference and you may miss the target. Have I told you the story . A great king was a great archer also. But once in a while he used to miss the target. That is natural. He was passing through a village, and there he saw on every tree, on every post, arrows struck exactly in the middle of a circle. He could not believe his eyes that this small village has such a great archer. So he asked the people, stopped his chariot, and the people started laughing. They said, "He is not an archer, he is an idiot." The king said, "Idiot, but his aim is perfect." The people still laughed. They said, "He is coming there. That fellow has deceived many people. He is completely idiot. First he shoots the arrow and then he makes the round. Naturally it is always perfect." That man can never fail. But a man who is going alone on a path that he has never trodden, on a path where there are no footprints, he does not know the direction. All the directions are available, but still once in a while a man has managed to become enlightened without having a master. This I can say with authority because I don't have any master. I struggled on my own, knowing perfectly well that the path is going to be long. But unfortunately, in this century where you can find a master, and rather than wasting time in searching for the master, I thought it is better to go alone. In the same time you may find yourself. And in the name of the master there are so many pseudo teachers who claim to be masters. And their claim is accepted because nobody follows them. Otherwise, you will find immediately that they know nothing, that they are simply quoting scriptures. I have heard about a dog who was very much against barking. Now, to ask other dogs not to bark, he became a very famous master amongst the dogs. They said, he is unique, perhaps an incarnation of God, because we are poor dogs and we cannot resist the temptation when we see a policeman or a postman or a sannyasin, anybody in uniform. Dogs seems to be very rebellious people. They are against uniforms. And this great master was insisting the whole day from morning till night that because of your barking, we have fallen so low. Otherwise, we would have been the very pinnacle of evolution. All our energy goes on in barking. And everybody agreed that that's true. But what we can do when the itching comes? To resist it, we are ordinary dogs. You are a great master. But one full moon night, they decided that he has been trying hard for years. At least give him a chance just for one night. He deserves it. Let him enjoy this night. Every dog has to hide in places and try hard. It is only a question of one night. In the morning you can bark as much as you want, just for one night. The master dog looked around. He was very much puzzled what happened. Because the full moon night is the most barking night. Dogs are also against the moon. Just unique characteristics. In the dark night, they sleep perfectly well. But when the moon is there, then they cannot sleep the whole night. They are barking and barking. Either they are against the moon, or perhaps they are great appreciators of beauty. One does not know. That night the master dog looked around. No dog was available. The middle of the night came, the moon was just on the head, and the master dog started feeling a great itching. He said, my God, I have never felt this. There was no chance. He was continuously teaching. So the whole itching was going in the teaching. It was the first time in life that for hours he has not spoken. The itching was becoming so much that he went into a corner and started barking. The moment he started barking, suddenly the whole city, because all the dogs thought that one has betrayed, they were keeping themselves somehow repressed saints. Now one has betrayed, no need, the agreement is broken. So all the dogs started barking. The master dog came out and started teaching again that I have been telling you that dogs will never progress, no evolution. These pseudo masters, if you follow them, soon you will discover things that they were teaching you, they don't follow themselves. Things that they were condemning to you, because you never follow them, you never know what they are doing. A man used to teach that anybody who follows me, I will take him to truth. Everybody agreed that sometime in old age, when all our worldly affairs are fulfilled, we will follow you. But by his teaching continuously around the villages, he became a great master. He knows the truth. In one village, a young man, a very stubborn young man, stood up and said, I am going to follow you. Now take me to truth. The man became very much afraid. He had no knowledge what truth is. But just because nobody was following him, he was enjoying the great masterhood. He could not say to him not to follow me. He thought that he will follow a few days and will get tired, and I will take him into stubborn paths and mountains just to tire him. But that man was very stubborn. After 6 years of continuously tiring himself, and the man finally, the master said, listen, because of you, I have forgotten the path myself. Now get lost. I used to find the truth so easily. 6 years have passed and not even a glimpse. It must be because of you. The pseudo masters are men. The time of the real masters is completely gone, Nansen and Josu belong to a golden age. When he said, "I am fully enlightened," in response, Nansen commented, "Last night, at the third watch, the moon shone through the window. The master exactly knows when the disciple becomes enlightened. He is telling him the exact time. Last night at the third watch, the moon shone through the window. Do you think I don't know that you have become fully enlightened? Before you knew it, I had already known it. To be with an authentic master, you need not tell him that I am enlightened. The moment you are enlightened, he is going to tell you. The moment he sees your flowering, the moment he sees that the spring has come, the moment he feels the fragrance, he declares the enlightenment of the disciple. But certainly those days are gone. But they can be brought back. They have gone because we got lost into very mediocre, ordinary things. We forgot the most significant thing in life is to know oneself. Through that window of knowing oneself, you can know the whole secret of existence. But we are almost like children playing with toys, not knowing that soon the death will come. And all that was important to us up to now will become absolutely useless. Only if your meditation has brought you a light that shines in every night, then even death will not be a death to you, but a door to the divine. With the light in your heart, death itself is transformed into a door and you enter into the universal spirit. You become one with the ocean. And unless one knows the oceanic experience, he has lived in vain. Nansen's disciple Sekiso wrote a small poem, "Not Leaving Your Zen Practice Behind," in the heavenly palace all by yourself, you realize the elegance beyond elegance, your old staff tinkling in the chilling dew and frost pierces heaven. In the temple of the forest of wisdom, the fruit is ripe. Now is the time. Now is always the time, and the fruit is always ripe. Just you need to gather courage to enter into your inner forest. The fruit is always ripe, and the time is always the right time. There is no such thing as wrong time. Manisha has asked, beloved Bhagwan, will we recognize our original face when we encounter it? Manisha, encountering the original face simply means realizing what is real and what is reflection. You become a reflection when you see the real. It is just like standing before a mirror. It seems you are standing in the mirror. When you realize the fact that you are standing outside the mirror, in the mirror is only the reflection. The reflection is not a truth. So when you encounter your original self, suddenly you realize up to now you have lived a false face. This is your original face. Up to now you have been living as a reflection, a shadow, an unreality. You disappear, only the original face remains. Your question is logical, relevant, because how we will recognize that this is our original face? You will not be there. You will disappear as the original face appears. You will not have to recognize it. You will not be there at all. The original face itself will know that up to now a false personality has been representing me. Now the false has disappeared and only the truth has remained. There is no question of recognizing. You are the false, how can you recognize? When the real comes, the false disappears. They never meet. This is the fear of searching oneself. Because the moment you find yourself, the way you know yourself now will disappear like a shadow. As if it has never been, just a dream. I have told you, a drunkard has been fighting in the pub, got many scratches on his face, came home, was very much afraid of the wife, so very silently taking his shoes in his hands, he entered into the room, went into the bathroom, looked at his face and he said, "My God, so many scratches, how I am going to hide them? In the morning she will find out." So he tried somehow to cover up. He could not find anything else than the lipstick of the wife. So he covered his scratches by the lipstick and went back silently to bed. In the early morning, the wife shouted from the bathroom that who has tried to make painting from my lipstick on the mirror. That drunk was thinking that he is putting it on his face, but he was putting it on the mirror. There was the face. He could not see his own face. We are almost just in the same situation. When the original will appear, you will suddenly see the false is going away. They never meet, so there is no question of recognition. Now, before we try to encounter the original face, it is a dangerous journey. You may find the original face, but please come back. Don't get stuck there. We have to bring the original face slowly, slowly on the circumference. It is a very silent and graceful process. Every day you go in, every day you go deeper, every day you come back, something has changed. Piece by piece, inch by inch, step by step, one day you will suddenly realize that there is no need to go in. The original face has come out. The clouds have dispersed and the moon without any scratches of the clouds is shining forth in its ultimate glory. Sardar Gurdayal Singh is waiting Pope the Pulak decides that he wants his holy Catholic Church to be the most modern and up-to-date religion in the world and be computerized. It is all quite simple, explains Father Fungus to Father Fumble a few weeks later in the confession box. All you have to do is type the confession onto this screen and you get a computerized print out of the penance. Now just watch while I type in stealing and look, here is the penance. Three Hail Marys and a bill for $15. Now, do you think you can manage? Okay, says Father Fumble nervously. I will give it a try. And he starts practicing as Father Fungus leaves the church. Just then, Sally walks into the confession box. Ah, Father, says Sally, I have sinned. Really? Says Father Fumble, tell me all about it. Well, Father, explains Sally, I took my boyfriend home with me. Terrible, exclaims Father Fumble. And then he mutters as he programs his computer, took boyfriend home. Yes, Father, continues Sally, but that is not all. He came into my bedroom. Really? Says Father Fumble, typing furiously, boyfriend into bedroom. Yes, Father, says Sally, but that is not all. He took off my clothes. Jesus Christ, says Father Fumble, checking the print out. But wait, Father, says Sally. Then he took off his clothes and climbed on top of me. My God, says Father Fumble, as he types boyfriend on top. Yes, Father, says Sally. And then he put the tip of his machinery in me. Really? Says Father Fumble, perspiring and typing, tip of machinery in. Then he furiously checks the print out, but it is blank. So he types it again, but again nothing comes out. Incorrect data, he snaps Father Fumble in frustration. This computer does not work in fractions. You will have to go back and get your boyfriend to put it all in. George Bush, the Vice President of America, walks into the Oval Office one morning to find Ronald Reagan laughing hysterically. Mr. President, sir, inquires Bush, what on earth is so funny? I just found out that Admis has been paying $20 every time he screws Nancy. Chokes the delirious president. My God, screams bus, that is not funny. That is a national scandal. Why? Laughs Regan, wiping his eyes. That idiot, I screw her for free. Dr. Sniff takes his old friend Fergus to a charity dance at the Deaf and Dumb College. The doctor warns Fergus that it is fine to dance with the young ladies, but to remember that they cannot speak. To him or hear what he says. But how will I ask one of the ladies to dance? Asks Fergus. Ah, don't be worried about that, replies Sniff. You will manage okay. So armed with good intentions, Fergus sees a nice looking young girl sitting alone in the corner, and he gallantly takes her by the hand and leads her onto the dance floor. Half an hour later, he is still trying to work out how to excuse himself and go and sit down for a rest. Just then a young man walks over and speaks to the girl. Hey Lucy, he says, when are you going to dance with me again? It has been almost an hour since we last danced. I know, replies Lucy, looking at Fergus, but I don't know how to get rid of this deaf and dumb idiot. Nivedana. Close your eyes, feel your body to be completely frozen. Now look inwards with your total consciousness. With a great urgency, as if this moment is going to be your last moment on the earth, move towards the center of your being like an arrow. This center contains all the secrets of existence. the deeper you go, the more you will find the splendor of life, the beauty of life, the truth of life. Thousands of flowers suddenly blossom up. You are just a witness of all that is happening in. Just watch the joy, the blissfulness, the ecstasy. Don't get lost, don't get identified, just remain aloof. A great Everest which goes even beyond the clouds, just become a pillar of witnessing to make it more clear. Nivedana, relax. Let go. You are not the body. You are not the mind. You are just a witness. Get deeper into this witnessing. This witnessing is the very point of departure from the ordinary to the extraordinary, from the mundane to the sacred. From the mortal to the immortal, the evening was beautiful on its own, but you have made it more beautiful. The silence of 10,000 Buddhas . The peace of 10,000 Buddhas, the witnessing of 10,000 Buddhas becomes an ocean. You are all dissolved into that ocean. Be soaked in this nectar. Be drenched. Because soon you will be called back by Nivedana. Bring as much beauty, as much joy, as much truth, as much authenticity as you can, from the center to the circumference. Nivedana, come back, but come back like Buddhas, with great grace, with silence, with deep gratitude. You are coming from another world, from the very source of life. Just sit down like Buddhas for a few moments to recollect the experience, to remember the path which you have to follow again and again. And whatever you have seen and experienced, let it become your ordinary life. Let it be expressed in your words, in your silences, in your gestures, in your activities. The ordinary has to be transformed into the sacred. I have called Nansen a point of departure. This experience of your interiority can become a point of departure for you too. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Bhagwan.
Do you promise me you will be celebrating when I am gone?
Yes, Bhagwan.